Storm damage, tornadoes, high winds, and heavy rains will continue to keep you updated on the post-storm damage and pre-debate tonight. Donald Trump and Joe Biden go head-to-head, 9 o'clock in Atlanta. We have that story, too. And we welcome, from the Pittsburgh Business Times, journalist Jake Debkowski. Jake, good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me back on.
Good to have you back. And this story about CMU and the Sci-Lab, an international network of cybersecurity companies and investors, have been drawn to Pittsburgh. I think a lot of people in the region would be interested in that, since we have seemed to become a mecca for a lot of things, including robotics.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sci-Lab out of CMU has existed since, I believe, the early 2000s. They are a school-wide or university-wide institute for cybersecurity development and research. What they've done now is they've launched a broader network that is connecting investors, companies, and researchers. Why they've done this is because a lot of times cybersecurity research is very, very early on. And once you receive an investment, you have to meet a certain number of metrics for your company before you can get more money. And if you don't meet those metrics, you're not going to get more money. And then you're just, your business is going to collapse, essentially. And then so all that research, all that effort is potentially going to be lost to the waste bin. So by pairing investors with companies and researchers early, they might not necessarily be giving money immediately, but they can be giving advice, they can be giving their expertise. And that's a two-way street, because for these investors that have, you know, portfolio companies, they need cybersecurity efforts too. We all need cybersecurity efforts in this day and age. And Pittsburgh in general is such a tech hub, like you mentioned. And so it's, it really has a growing cybersecurity force.
Jake, Paul Rasmussen here. I'm curious to know about the products that they're going to be developing. Are they trying to develop products that are out ahead of the criminal element, or are they trying to respond to what's going on currently?
So there's a variety of companies involved. So, for example, one company is dealing with something that's not even what you might traditionally associate with cybersecurity. They're researching to develop an AI model that can track to see if an image has been developed by AI. So, for example, we've seen with this presidential election, robocalls of President Biden, where it's not him talking, it's someone has used an AI to make him say things that he did not say. That has potential to be even more disruptive down the line. So this company is developing a method to track and stop that. And that has implications on businesses too. There was a business in San Francisco, I believe, that was victim to a robocall of their CEO asking for passwords. Now, they did their due diligence and checked with the CEO and saw that it wasn't him. But you can see how that could be a problem down the line.
Could be a real problem. We're with Jake Debkowski with the Pittsburgh Business Times. Who are some of the major players that have come to Pittsburgh because of our IT footprint?
I don't know if I'd say there's a ton that have come to Pittsburgh. More so, it's a lot of people know that this is a great place to start and nurture a company. So we have a lot of companies that have grown here. I mean, Duolingo is obviously the big one in terms of tech companies.
Right.
They have a pretty big global reach. But there's so many self-driving vehicle companies here. There are so many robotics companies here. Astrobotic on the north side, they are developing a Moonlander. Gecko Robotics is a pretty big robotics company, and they've developed robots that can scale oil rigs and do tasks that would be pretty difficult for ordinary human beings. So I think it's less so the Pittsburgh area is getting people to come here. And you are going to see companies come here. Microsoft has offices here. Meta/Facebook has offices here. Apple has offices here. But I think the bigger companies that are going to operate in the space are the companies that see, we've got a lot of talent coming out of CMU. We've got a lot of talent coming out of the University of Pittsburgh in AI, in healthcare sciences. And so it's companies that say, we're going to take this young workforce, we're going to nurture them, and they're going to nurture our company.
Read all about it, the Pittsburgh Business Times, Jake Debkowski. Wait a minute, how do I know it's you, Jake? We appreciate your time this morning. I love this stuff.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. All right, we'll talk again. Have a great weekend. And coming up, we're going to check in with the young scholars and how that is connected to the healthcare profession in Pittsburgh next. Of the pre-debate is CBS's Jared Hill from Atlanta.
This is both new ground as well as really familiar territory. Folks are very, very, very familiar with these two candidates. But there are some specific things they're likely to pay attention to tonight.
Can I be honest? It's a very...
The unforgettable chaos of the 2020 presidential debates.
The radical left...
Will you shut up, man?
It's what moderators hope to avoid tonight when President Biden and former President Trump go head-to-head for the first time in 4 years. Each candidate's microphone will be muted when it's not his turn to speak, and there will be no studio audience.
The audience at home is going to be better able to make its own judgments.
Kathleen Hall Jamison heads up the Annenberg Public Policy Center at the University of Pennsylvania. She says research shows audience reactions can influence how at-home viewers feel about a debate, like this moment from 84's Reagan-Mondale debate.
I am not going to exploit for political purposes my opponent's youth and inexperience.
Those who heard the audience laugh in response were more likely to approve of Reagan's response and to evaluate him more favorably.
While polls show that most voters are pretty locked in on whether they would support former President Trump or President Biden, analysts say there's still something to learn from this debate.
A new CBS News poll finds some voters will watch to see whether the two oldest presumptive White House nominees in history have the mental and cognitive health to serve. 1 in 5 plan to watch because they're undecided.
And I'm definitely planning on watching it and kind of hearing from both sides, you know, how are they going to help the country and help the people.
Most Democratic voters want Biden to strike a forceful tone, while most Republican voters want Trump to be polite.
Biden aides are saying that President Biden will likely argue that he is best fit for this because he says that former President Trump would continue to cut taxes for the rich, as well as saying that he would further erode abortion rights and that he is unfit for the White House temperamentally. Meanwhile, on the other side here, we have aides for former President Trump saying that they really want him to focus on issues like immigration as well as crime, things that they think that he would have the upper hand on over President Biden.
CBS is Jared Hill. In Atlanta. 9 o'clock and KDK Radio. We got you covered too. So if you're out and about, you can tune in. And then tomorrow morning, a debrief of the debate. We have an array of guests lined up. Plus, we want your input. So I think, Paul, someone like yourself who won't be able to watch the whole thing, it'll be important tomorrow morning just to kind of get the clips of what's transpired and what will transpire tonight.
Right. The good things that people should hear. And then I'm really most interested in getting the reaction of our listeners. I want to see, you know, how it came out on the other end.
I guess the most important part for any of the candidates or either of these candidates is, will they have the ability to change a vote? Because it seems like staunch alignment one way or the other. So will this debate actually change minds? And when it comes to making a decision on who to vote for.
When it comes to operating the government and policy, these candidates are very, very different.
They are.
I think that's one of the reasons why it's true what you're saying.
It's so hard, though, to separate the politics from that and look at the actual facts of platforms. How does one candidate handle this and how does another candidate handle that? Because the divisiveness that exists right now.
Oh, yes. And you cannot believe what one candidate will say about the other candidate's positions. Sometimes it's an outright lie. Sometimes it's just a distortion. Definitely, Larry, that's, you know, learning what the actual plan is from these. That's the tough part. And I don't know how much of that's going to come out tonight if they both are going to be attacking each other. And that's what it sounds like it's going to be.
Well, I'm sure they will be, but the rules, if you didn't hear, are the following. No opening statements by either candidate. No Trump or Biden statement to open the debate.
That's a good one.
There will be two moderators for CNN, this Jack Tepper and the other...
Dana Bash.
Dana, thank you. And the questions will be to each candidate while that candidate is answering in the time allotted. The other candidate's mic will be muted.
That's good.
There is no audience.
That's good.
So no cheers and jeers from an audience assembled. And keep in mind, in Atlanta, Georgia, is where former President Trump is facing some legal wranglings there, too. So there are a lot of factors going in to this. So no audience, 90 minutes, two breaks, and they are not permitted to have notes or to confer in those breaks with their respective teams.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just all out, one-on-one, mano-mano, and I think a lot of people are curious to see the cognitive skills of Joe Biden and how he will handle himself and how Donald Trump will handle himself when he is, I'm sure, will be attacked by Joe Biden and back and forth.
He certainly was much more energetic, I think that's the fair word to use, when he delivered the State of the Union.
Prompting Donald Trump to suggest that he had a shot of some sort, physically, a shot of some sort.
A stimulant of some kind or whatever. Yeah.
That juiced him up. And then on Monday, he said this.
So a little before debate time, he gets a shot in the ass, and that's...
Oh, my.
They want to strengthen him up.
So if Biden does well, they'll say he was juiced. And then I guess Trump said that he's been willing to take a drug test.
He did. He wanted both of the candidates to take a drug test.
I don't know. What would you... shoot into somebody to juice them up for a debate like this? B12?
I guess.
Would that be enough?
Perhaps.
I don't know what else.
It's again, this is, it's a nice sidebar. It's comedic to me and you. We've laughed quite often this week playing that clip back. Right. You're going to get more use out of that one than that one you had where he goes, so why don't you ask China? So, but on the other hand, it has absolutely nothing to do with whether one of them is going to make a good president for the second time around.
And it's uncharted territory.
I mean, with
on
the drug
so
testing,
many levels. Know. I mean, here you have a former president and a current president battling for the seat. And, you have somebody convicted of felonies, 34 counts of felonies, who is waiting here in weeks, presumably. I think that'll get kicked back, his sentencing. And in the midst of all of this, the Supreme Court today, possibly, I doubt they will, though. I doubt they'll do it today. But they could rule on...
the immunity case. That's
yes,
right.
The immunity case.
How much immunity does the president have in... various situations.
From the PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement Traffic Center, AAA traffic powered by Bowser and Genesis in Monroeville, now open. Our weekly visit with a good doctor, Mike Hutchinson of Animal General, LaSalle Plaza in Cranberry. Doc, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. How you doing?
Good. It's going to be a beautiful day after a hellacious night. How'd you make out with the storms up there in the north?
We had some pretty good storms, but, you know, it's a good shelter.
Yeah, apparently most of the damage was cities south and west, right, Paul?
Yeah, central and southern Allegheny County and then over into Westmoreland County from there.
All right, we got... questions for you. Lisa from Westview wants to know, we just got a new kitten, Doc. How soon should we start litter training? Is there an ideal age?
You know, congratulations on the new kitten, and there's no ideal age. Just start right away, and they're really good. You know, you just want to make sure you choose the right litter box. Size might have to be a little bit lower for a kitten. You want the right kind of material. They usually like a real fine, unscented litter, because that's a good tactile feel for their feet when they like to knead in it. And show them where it is. Keep it clean and avoid punishments, because negative associations around aren't a good idea. I always tell people, don't put them in the laundry room, because sometimes the dryer or the washer machine will scare them away. And you'll be amazed. These kittens learn right away. It's almost a natural instinct. And if you're having trouble with a kitten that's avoiding it, speak to your veterinarian because they can give you extra tips.
Dr. Mike, Sophie in Oakmont has a pug with a dry nose. She says she's heard it could be a health indicator. She wants to know if you think she should be worried about it.
Well, a dry nose by itself is quite common, and it doesn't necessarily mean a health problem. I mean that if the heat, the wind, you know, can alter day by day, even during the day. Sometimes if they're laying in a sunny spot, it will dry out. But if it's cracking or if there's any blood associated with it, that's when you want to see your vet because that would be abnormal. But a dry nose by itself is not a health indicator in my experience. And so just keep an eye on them. If it's uncomfortable, that's when you'd see your vet. But other than that, no, that's not a health indicator.
And by the way, you can see Dr. Mike with us now by our video at kdkradio.com. Just click on the video feed. You look awake, Doc. I'm impressed.
Well, you can't see my morning hair with a hat on it, but there you go.
All right. Owen in Braddock wants to know, Dr. Mike, my cat has been meowing more than usual at night. Could this be a sign of distress or something else?
You know, that's a good question. If it's an older cat, I always will recommend that you have them checked for dental pain, arthritis, things like that will cause them to vocalize, especially at night. There's also senility that might be setting in older cats. Now, if it's a younger cat, it may just be attention seeking. And if you respond to that, you're going to train them that they can control you at night when they become more active. So a lot of these cats, we swear, are nocturnal. They like to play at nighttime. So those are the kinds of things that we look for: senility, arthritis, pain. Sometimes they have other things going on. Like I said, the dental pain. So it would be advisable if there isn't any changes in your house, you know, there's not new people in the house, and then all of a sudden your cat starts doing that, it would be advisable to have it checked out. But sometimes it's just attention-seeking behavior. So you have to figure that out. And it is a good piece of advice to see your vet about that.
I got a pop-up bonus question for you. It just dawned on me. When I was young, we lived near a little poultry farm. So when the sun rose, we'd hear the roosters crow. Why do they do that?
Yeah, I don't know. They get stimulated by the light, you know, crack of dawn, and then they start to crow. And it was we had one that would crow at night, and
they're loud too, man. They're loud.
Yeah, they are. We're all wondering why in the heck is that crow got it backwards, or that rooster have it backwards. But you know, sometimes that's what happens. But most of the time, it's the light that stimulates their little pineal gland in their brain that causes them to then start crowing. So a light sensor.
I can't ever catch you on any questions, right, Paul? He's too good.
You can catch me lots of times.
Seems to have a pretty good answer for everything.
We appreciate you, Doc, as always. Have a great weekend.
You too. My pleasure. Have a great weekend yourselves.
The good Dr. Mike Hutchins, and check him out at animalgeneral.net. We have a link at kdkradio.com.
Oh, that's the way to do it. Out to deep center field. Fairchild back to the wall. There it goes. Home run. Andrew McCutchen to dead center field. Number 11. A two-run shot puts the Pirates up 4-1.
Joe Block. We'll talk to Joe as we do every Friday tomorrow morning at 9:35. Meanwhile, Pirates get that win and win the series.
I enjoyed watching that game. That was really fun.
I happened to be in the car driving, and KDK, we were carrying the game, heard Joe call that live, and Cutch still out there battling.
And Tellez got a homer as well.
Yes, and he's been doing better for a while. He was on a long streak.
I think he's batting somewhere around 350 for the last month, Larry, and then Jason DeLay got a nice big double.
So they get a night off. They're in Atlanta. What else is going on in Atlanta?
I wonder.
Presidential debate. 9 o'clock, we'll be covering that too. And then tomorrow morning, the debate debrief. We got some guests that'll give their opinions on what we all see, hopefully, tonight.
But the most important guests and feedback we'll be getting will be from our listeners.
Yeah, we want to hear from you tomorrow morning. Really do. We're going to kind of just, who won in your opinion and why, and did it change your vote?
That's what I want to know most.
That's really, yeah, those two questions.
Any one of our listeners that went in open-minded or undecided and the debate helped form an opinion.
So if you want to weigh in tomorrow, we'll kind of have an open line throughout the morning for you to do just that. And you can also use Instant Access. Email us at instantaccesskdkradio.com. And if you wish, we can share your thoughts too by reading what you send in to KDKA. But the reason I played that Kutch home run clip was because I want to give you a pair of tickets. Next weekend at PNC Park, the New York Mets come to town. It's the Bucko Luau. And, Paul, we talked about Saturday being the Pirates Hawaiian shirt night. So the first 20,000 fans will get a Bucko's Hawaiian shirt. You even went online and saw people are selling these.
Oh, yeah.
Valuable.
Yep. I'm surprised, by the way. You've got music for almost everything. And I was thinking, for a luau night, you don't like have something from Don Ho or some type of a Hawaiian thing?
I'm sure I do. There you go.
One of the great TV intros of all time.
Book 'em, Dano.
Hawaii 5-0 with Jack Lord.
Oh, yeah, that was old school.
Yeah.
There's been a whole generation that only knows the more recent.
I actually watched a few episodes of that.
Wasn't bad?
Yeah, pretty good.
All right, the Bucko Luau weekend, and Sunday is Kids Day, and kids 14 and under are going to take home a Pirates beach towel. That's not this Sunday. It's next Sunday. I have a pair of tickets to give you for that game. Next Sunday against the Mets, 412-922-1020. Pick a number, Paul.
Two for one of the twos in Andrew's number.
Two-run homer. 412-922-1020. Caller number two. We got you covered. Jack Lord. Who was the guy? Who was his sidekick?
James MacArthur? Was that his name?
Yeah. And then who was the Hawaiian? I forget.
I can't remember.
In the original.
I cannot remember.
You ever been to Hawaii?
No, but I'd like to.
Yeah, that's on my bucket list. I better hurry. 7:55 at KDKA. I have been to Neville Island multiple times.